Welcome to the Paul and Griff Show. You got myself, Paul.
You got myself, Griff.
And Project 99 continues as we look at 1999, arguably the greatest year of film, and we run down to find out what is indeed the greatest film of 1999, in our opinion. Obviously, we'll talk about memories and such like, but we also have five categories that we run through: soundtrack, plot slash originality, longevity, cast, and the genre bonus, which this week is fighting. And it's fighting for a reason, because this film might somewhat be about fighting.
Oh, one intro.
Fighting.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. No, not kung fu fighting.
No. Oh. I mean, this is awkward. Could we talk about it?
I don't know. Is this a test?
Well, I've floated out to the ocean, so I'm on waters, so I can talk about whatever I want. I'm not bound by law.
Let's do it. We can do this. We can do this. Oh, Fight Club.
Yeah. Man, the climax that was. Look at that. Fight Club, everyone. We are talking about Fight Club. I'd imagine most people have seen it. If you haven't seen it, you
Massive
might want
spoilers.
To see it. Yeah, there's a couple of spoilers. There's a couple of twists. Don't want to dive too much. But, yeah.
Go watch it and then come back.
Exactly. And listen. And you can blow your mind and hear us talk about it with you. But, yeah, obviously we're going to dive into this. Let's not beat around. Synopsis, what you got?
Let's do it. Fight Club, USA, 15th of October, 1999. UK, 12th of November, 1999. An insomniac office worker and a Devil May Care soap maker form an underground fight club that evolves into much more. Directed by David Fincher, who previously did Seven, which is in our archives, then went on to do Panic Room, Zodiac, The Social Network, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake, Gone Girl, and most recently, Mank. The novel was written by Chuck Palahniuk, and the screenplay was done by Jim Uhis, which was his first screenplay credit. And he's done nothing since of note, which is a shame. Stars Edward Norton as the narrator, Brad Pitt as Tyler Durden, Helena Bonham Carter as Marla Singer, Meatloaf as Robert Bob Paulson, Jared Leto as Angel Face, and Zach Grenier as Richard Chesler, which is the narrator's boss. The taglines, you've got: how much can you know about yourself if you've never been in a fight? When you wake up in a different place at a different time, can you wake up as a different person? Losing all hope is freedom. Don't ever talk about it. Experience it on Blu-ray. Jesus. Mischief, mayhem, soap. And works great, even on bloodstains. Had a budget of $63 million. In its opening weekend, it took home $11 million. And worldwide gross, $101,209,702, which was deemed as quite a flop, believe it or not. That's kind of all the facts, I suppose. Before we delve in and talk about it, let's talk about memories. What's your first memory of Fight Club?
It's kind of weird, stepping away from the film. I think it's got one of the most, like, the catchiest lines, descriptions ever. Like, first rule of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. It transcends it. If you say to someone Fight Club, they'll almost say to you straight away, first rule about Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. It comes like part and parcel, which proves how good, how much of a massive part that was of the film.
Yeah.
Obviously, the twist is fascinating. Yeah, we spoke about it, things like Usual Suspects and stuff like that. But I think the twist for this is so cleverly done. And the Easter eggs that are actually in the film, you know, going to read watchability and stuff like that, it allows you to go through a different journey on the second watch.
Definitely. Like, funny enough, like in the same year, which obviously we'll have to do at some point, Sixth Sense, and Sixth Sense was marketed as a film that you have to see twice.
Yeah.
I think this you have to see, you see it in a whole different perspective the second time.
Yeah, massively.
I remember this film was coming out. I remember the posters. I definitely see it at the cinema, so I also
maybe the hindered. Soap.
But I think it was so mysterious what the film was about, and yep. I think everyone just thought it was just an underground fighting film, and Fight Club is so much more than that. It is so complex and layers, but I think however much like I love it, I think what did it. I think the title hurts it to like new watchers because I don't want to watch a film about fighting, but that's probably like 15% of the movie, so yeah. To speak. Obviously, me and you did see it on the big screen years later.
We did. I mean, obviously, we went together. There was a showing that we went to. So we got to actually experience it on the big screen because obviously we wouldn't really have been able to at the time. So it was good to see it, especially at a different age. We can really sort of appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah. And, I'll hold on. Before we get into the proper discussion, like this is like always will be top five movie of mine of all time. And I every time I watch it, I appreciate it a little bit more. And obviously, the good thing about doing it for a podcast is actually looking into the details of like some of the trivia. It's just mind blowing. Some of the stuff. If people haven't seen it, I suppose now's the time to turn off. We'll talk about the spoilers from now on. So thanks for listening so far. Pause and like come back because I'd hate, like everyone says, if you knew the ending to Sixth Sense before you see it, you're probably never going to appreciate it. This is that same kind of power.
Well, this is one of those films where you can only, it falls into a very elite category of you can only get that feeling once.
Yeah.
You know, Fight Club, Sixth Sense, Usual Suspects, Saw.
Saw's definitely. Saw's are like, oh my God. Saw's like, it was there under my nose all the time.
But so is this though.
Yeah. And there's so many clues.
There's so many clues.
Say it. Tell people. What's the twist? Tell the people.
The twist that, you know, Tyler isn't real.
No, they're the same person. It's all his head. He is, it's a make-believe person that, like, he wants to be. He wants to be this different person. And what I love is when they break the twist, it kind of talks to us like, please fasten your seatbelts. As in, like, yes, you heard us correctly. That's it. And then when you rewatch it, you just see it all so differently.
Yeah,
just really do. And like, don't get me wrong, Fight Club should not work as a movie. When you think about it and you watch it, it shouldn't work, but it really does. For me, it's kind of art and a film, which is like, I think it does tackle loads of stuff, like just what goes on. I love the materialistic, like the things you own end up owning you, is a quote that I very much love. I'd love to feel like I live by, but I don't. I still do buy loads of stuff I don't need.
Song is that from?
Pepper Roach.
That's it.
There's no money. No. There's no conversation. I think it's that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, it's Papa Roach. Yeah, you said you had some of the clues to like find it out, and I've got some as well. So do you want to trade through some of those?
Let's trade through. I mean, there was one that I feel is an obvious one, which would have sort of made you go, oh, at the time. There's an absolute massive clue. So I think it's good to start with that one. And that's simply the briefcases on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I feel is probably the most obvious sort of clue.
Yeah. I got one which wasn't as obvious. And I must admit, when I'm watching it, it still isn't that obvious. When they're going down, setting the alarms off on the cars with the baseball bats.
Yeah.
Tyler hits the car first and the alarm doesn't go off. Only goes off after the narrator hits the car.
Nice.
Which is and did you see the thing in the bus? When the guy goes past, he actually says to the narrator, "Excuse me," but he actually barges past Tyler.
Yes. Yes, but he sort of doesn't knock into Tyler at all, does he?
No.
Yeah, no, being on the bus, yeah, that one. Obviously the car crash.
Yes.
Tyler obviously is driving when it crashes, but when it crashes, Tyler gets out of the passenger side. Again, small details, but so important.
It is, and you don't. Thing is, you're not. Whereas the Sixth Sense says, I think the Sixth Sense hinted there's a twist to be had in this movie. Fight Club doesn't do that. You're not expecting a twist. I don't think you are anyway.
No.
And now you probably are because Fight Club is known for the twist. But when this was brought out, marketed, it wasn't all around a twist.
No, it's just about a Fight Club that Brad Pitt was a part of.
Totally. Totally. Obviously, there's a clue, obviously, when he beats himself up in front of his boss, actually does mirror the fact that, like, he can have a decent fight of himself.
Yeah.
And a kind of scary, like, fight of himself. When Tyler and the narrator are fighting and gather a crowd, no one intervenes, but instead look rather bemused because some guy is just fighting himself in the garden.
Yeah. And the crowds never look at Tyler.
No.
Which is good. The phone box.
Yeah, phone box.
The phone box, obviously. The phone box proper, like Eagle Eye. That's something that you almost have to have someone point out to you, I think. Saying that the phone box can make calls, but it can't receive calls. So obviously when Tyler calls up the phone box to speak to him, you very much know, like, it couldn't have happened.
The fight with Lou, do you see that? When he fights Lou and the owner of the underground thing, when Lou first punches him in the stomach, if you see closely, like the narrator actually like squinches his stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that scene. You don't know where I've been, Lou. You don't know where I've fucking been. fucking. Oh, that's good. The things were obviously he's talking to Marla and Tyler's like finishing his sentences like this conversation is over. So he says this conversation's over. So it just shows like he's just all in his head.
Yeah, no. So I mean, speaking of Marla, there's an interesting fact about her as well.
Oh, go on.
Obviously not Marla, but when she was having the makeup applied to be Marla, she insisted that the makeup artist applied the makeup with her weaker hand because she didn't think Marla would be good enough to do a good makeup job.
Oh, I love that.
So basically, like, she did it with her left hand rather than her right because,
she looks really young in this Helena Bonham Carter for some reason. Yeah, like, so really baby face. Makeup. Apparently, if you look really eyed towards the beginning of the movie, when they show like Brad Pitt being a waiter, you can
Yeah.
actually see the narrator as a waiter far in the background. Which again, eagle eye, you're just looking at Brad Pitt, which yeah.
Oh, and of course, throughout the duration of the film, there's like split second moments where Tyler appears,
Yeah.
where you see him, but you don't realize you see him. And they almost make a joke of this when they talk about Tyler editing the film and quickly editing like scenes from porn where you hear a noise, but you know, or like a massive dick on the screen or something, where you know you've seen it, but you t don't think you've seen it.
That's why I think this film's so like it's a
So they're
work of
basically
art.
telling you what they're doing.
They are telling you, but you're not paying attention.
Yeah. You're just laughing, not realizing they've already done that to you three times. Well, you might have realized. I mean, he's already done that to you three times. Like, he'll be in the office. He's there. Do you know what I mean? There's a couple of things where he'll suddenly just appear. He's office,
Obviously,
he's in the meeting, when
yeah,
there's other
obviously
ones as well.
when Tyler's having sex with Marla,
Yeah.
he catches the narrator peeping in and they have a conversation, and then Marla's like, "Who are you talking to?" Which indicates it's Tyler's talking to himself. Also, like Marla and Tyler are never in the same room. So Tyler and the narrator are never in the same room when talking to Marla.
And also, small details like when he's on the phone, Tyler's not having sex with her because he's not able to do the two things. He's on the phone.
Yeah.
So that's why he comes out and he gets off the phone and he goes back. Oh, it's crazy. It's so good. And this isn't even like the real story of it. This is just craziness of it all.
It's craziness of it all. Yeah, it's just absolutely mental. So, do you know how he came up with the idea of it? The author. The author first came up with the idea for the novel. After he got beaten up on a camping trip, when he complained to some nearby campers about the noise of their radio. Then, when he returned to work, he was fascinated to find that nobody would mention or acknowledge his injuries, instead saying such common things like, "How was your weekend?" So, the author concluded the reason people reacted this way was because they asked him what had happened. A degree of personal interaction would be necessary. And his workmates simply didn't care enough to connect with him on a personal level. It was his fascination with this societal blocking which became the foundation for the novel. Which is true, because sometimes it's the old thing where you say, like, you do walk past someone, like, "Oh, how you doing? You're all right." And when actually someone says, like, "Actually, no, not to," and they start talking to you, half the time you're like, "Oh, I was only being polite." Hi.
So mental,
I was only being polite. It didn't need to like. Oh, so it's a crazy movie. There's so just so many good scenes as well, and just so many good chats. Like, who would you fight? I suppose like we're not fighters. Well, I don't know. I'm not. Like to echo like some of the questions on there, like. Who would you fight, like, dead or alive? Like, is anyone you'd fight?
Jesus. What,
Put
like,
on the
as in,
spot. Put on the spot here. It'd be a
what, as
proper
in, like,
challenge to
celebrity wise or?
you. Yeah, anyone. Weird. Obviously, no point in telling us someone you don't know. We don't know. But yeah, celebrity. Tim from down the road.
It.
He's always putting the wrong bins out.
He's always putting the wrong bins out. Oh, I don't know, man. It just sounds so aggressive.
It is a weird question, ain't it? It is a weird
Jake Paul,
question.
because he'd knock me out and I'd get a lot of money for it.
Mate, you put a tattoo on your finger. I see that,
Yes,
Tyson
yeah,
Woodley. I see
it can't be
that.
real, surely.
It can't be real. It's going to rub off after they sign the fight. Oh, it's just absolutely mental. I like the fact that they reused Leo DiCaprio's breath from Titanic in the cave scene with the little penguin.
Yeah.
Oh. And you forget, like, fucking Meatloaf is in this, and I don't not like him.
Yeah, Meatloaf with titties as well.
big titties.
Big titties.
And to ensure that Meatloaf's breasts and love handles hung correctly, his fat suit was filled with birdseed, so it would spill over his pants and give the impression of sagging flesh.
Oh,
although the suit plus the seed weighed over 100 pounds.
Which
is,
to hear.
Jesus. Obviously, the other big thing about Fight Club is there's supposed to be a Starbucks coffee cup visible in every shot in the movie. And going back, I watched this and, boy, it's that they're very cleverly put somewhere, if anything. I struggled loads. I tried to find a website as well to see if maybe a website did tell us everyone. But there's the odd image on Twitter, on Instagram. But yeah, not too good. So another 99 movie technology. Did you know they used the same bullet time technique from The Matrix to film the Brad Pitt and Helen Bonham Carter sex scene where they go round, the cameras go round the bodies?
Oh, I didn't, but I'm not. I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, once it's out there, it's too good not to use, isn't it?
It's too good to use. And when the narrator hits Tyler Durden in the ear in their first fight, Edward Norton actually did hit Brad Pitt in the ear. He was originally going to fake hit him, but before the scene, David Fincher pulled Norton aside and told him to hit him in the ear. After Norton hit him in the scene, you can see him smiling and laughing while Pitt is in pain. I'm glad Brad Pitt's like pretty cool with it. You found a cool thing with certain DVDs with PlayStation?
Yeah, so obviously we're just searching bits, and apparently it's like, I think it was one of the Blu-ray versions. You put it into the PlayStation, and normally it would tell you like what the film name is you're about to watch. There'd be nothing on there at all. It just basically just say like DVD, and it wouldn't tell you what you're watching. When you load it up, it came up the menu for Never Been Kissed, and that was on there for a moment to like almost trick you into thinking you purchased the wrong film. And then it would flip over to obviously the Fight Club menu screen. But yeah, just again, it's just the thinking of the thinking. It's the small details like that that sort of keeps it ongoing, and you sort of end up just appreciating just the level of it, wouldn't it?
Definitely. And on some DVDs, there's a warning on there that only comes up for a second. And it says, this warning is from Tyler Durden. If you're reading this, then this warning is for you. Every word you read of this is useless fine print. It's another second of your life. Don't you have other things to do? Is your life so empty that you honestly can't think of a better way to spend these moments where you're so impressed with authority that you give respect and credence to all who claim it? Do you read everything you're supposed to read? Do you think everything you're supposed to think? But what you're told you shouldn't want? Get out of your apartment. Meet a member of the opposite sex. Stop the excessive shopping and masturbation. Quit your job. Start a fight. Prove you're alive. If you don't claim humanity, you'll become a statistic. You have been warned. Tyler. And some people probably did pause the screen to kind of read all that. One thing I will say, right? This is Brad Pitt's coolest movie, right?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, it's so hard because he's been in a lot of great ones. It's a great, it's such an interesting film. I mean, it really is.
It's just got layers of it. And it shouldn't work and it shouldn't flow, but it just does.
Yeah.
Even the kind of Project Mayhem when they're outside and he's like, whether they're too young, cook, tell them they're too young. If they're too old, tell them they're too old. They've got to wait there for 3 days, no food, no shelter. Then they're allowed in. It's just like a throwaway, like not even a 5-minute scene. But it's just so clever. I suppose let's talk about the fighting. You do hear and feel every punch. It's pretty.
Yeah, the fight scenes themselves are actually really, really good. It's not just the fighting. There's just loads of different sort of fighting in it. That's
You see Jared Leto punch the shit out of, which I still think, I've probably watched this film like 20 odd times. It's still uncomfortable watching when the narrator does kind of beat the hell out of Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Send him back to Mars. And like, they zoom in and his teeth are all like, oh, when did you become? When did you become psycho? I felt like destroying something beautiful. As you say before, it's so fucking clever, because I feel like even if people don't know Fight Club, have never seen Fight Club, they know that you do not talk about Fight Club. Like,
that's the thing, like I said, like literally people that have not even seen, you know, this film will still sort of know that that tagline, and that's just a credit to it, really, isn't it?
Definitely. And how many films can you say the author of the book said he found the film to be an improvement on his on their book? Yeah. I bet not a lot of people. A lot of people usually aren't really happy with like the adaptations. It's just great. And obviously you've got Where Is Your Mind at the end, which is pretty awesome song. As the buildings are all, you met me at a strange moment in my life. I just can't speak any more positive on it. And you don't see the trailer, and you don't see the twist. Or when you do see the twist, you see the whole film in a whole different light. And especially when he says to her, like, Tyler isn't here. So basically, he's like, that version of me isn't here at the moment. It just so different ways of seeing it. And let's say, if you haven't seen it, we've ruined it for you. So come and go and watch it. But I really feel it's a top-notch film, and it's also gutting that it only really found its cult status in the DVD world, because it didn't do so well at the cinema.
Yeah, but I guess because the way it was advertised, I guess you can sort of.
It was, because, like, why do I want to film like, about fighting and also about soap? Because there was a lot about soap. And soap is only, like, again, 10% of the movie. Like, it's funny when they're, like, collecting the soap, the fat and the fat splits. Oh, it was the other thing. They were actually going to, at one point, they were actually going to say the whole ingredients and how to put napalm. And then they thought, like, maybe we should put fake ingredients. It's probably not a good idea to actually give the proper way how to make napalm from household items.
Yeah, I mean that's probably the best idea, not to give away too much with shit like that, isn't it?
Apparently they didn't like the fact that Brad Pitt was wearing rubber cleaning gloves when he was shagging Marla. But apparently when they did screenings, it was the biggest laugh that people got, so they kept it in. It's just, yeah. Sorry, I feel like I'm sucking up to this film. But and I love the fight with Lou. And Brad Pitt's laugh, he would have made a good joke of that laugh. He would have made a good joke.
Yeah, it's probably too big a star, though, only for it.
Oh, yeah, massively too big a star.
But I'd still put it out. I guess we get to scoring.
Yeah. We've got the scores. Should we go through what we've got so far from the other films?
Yeah, let's go through it. Let's find out what we've got to beat to get there.
Let's do it. So in last place is The Ever-Loving Office Space with 17. Really sorry. I know a lot of people love that film, but we were just being honest. 18, Wild Wild West in fourth place. In mid-table, shooting up the numbers, 32 with The Mummy.
Yeah.
Cruel Intentions, 34, and still biting hard on top. Deep Blue Sea with 36. Cool. So let's go with soundtrack.
Honestly, not a great start. I went for two with soundtrack. I felt there were two songs maybe in it that kind of stood out.
I gave it a very generous three.
Yeah, I mean, roughly the same. I mean, it's not a film that I felt relied on a soundtrack. Like we said, Cruel Intentions heavily relied on the soundtrack to tell you part of the story. This didn't. So,
yeah,
you know.
Plot originality.
I went for a five.
I would argue there is no film like this, and it has not copied anything from. I feel like Fight Club is pretty unique, and I would argue long and hard about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Seven is up there for different reasons. Unusual Suspects again had a very similar effect and stuff like that. Did Saw, but I would say this sort of is, though, this is definitely mind bending and massively ahead of its time. So you have to give it that.
Totally. Longevity.
The fact that we're still talking about it so passionately, I felt I've had to go for a five for this as well.
I gave it a four. Still quite high. I knew I'd be biased, so maybe I just downgraded it from my own stuff. I gave it a four because I still think it's relevant today.
I could slip to a four, to be honest with you, because I feel like you watch it first time just because it's a film. Second time you watch it to see stuff. And then you sort of get more excited if you're watching with people that haven't excited it, haven't watched it.
So it's kind of four, like, or you can stay with five.
I'll drop with four. I think that's fair.
Cast, I gave a five. I wouldn't change any of them.
Cast, I gave a four. To be honest, I don't know if I would change any of them, but it'd be so hard because I'd literally have to get every actor in every tune and try and work it out. But I think they fitted in all their roles perfectly here. I think Brad Pitt played an absolute blinder. And it's a solid, there's no shame in having a four.
And genre bonus with fights. I gave it a four. I could feel every punch. Whoever did the sound stuff for it was very, very good.
Yeah, I went for a four for the fighting as well. It's all rounded on soundtrack here.
Yeah. It is. If you want to chat, I'll add it up.
Obviously, for those who don't know, obviously check out the archives. You've got all the free stuff, and also every Tuesday you have the Paul and Griff movie news show. We talk about all the weekly news, trailers, everything that's going out. You don't want to miss that, because we'll tell you days to book off about all the really cool stuff that's coming out. So mostly on Netflix and that, but loads of cool trailers and that hanging around at the moment, so you want to check out the new show on Tuesday. Done your maths?
I think so. Just double counted it, adjudicated and all that jazz.
Email it off.
Email it off.
This is the suspense that's killing me. Live for this.
Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah. Cool. So I suppose we'll go for the pleasantries of, like, has it beaten Office Space or Wild Wild West? We won't bother with that. Do you think it's beating The Mummy?
Yeah.
With 32 points.
Has
beaten The Mummy. Do you think it's beating Cruel Intentions with 34 points?
I think it has.
It has beaten Cruel Intentions with 34 points. Do you think it's beaten Deep Blue Sea with 36?
I shouldn't be upset, but I think it has.
It has. And I'm proud to say we have our first total in the 40s. At dead on 40 out of 50, we've got Fight Club. It was a heavy hitter. And it's in a position to be a heavy hitter. It's got 40.
It's moved up. It's moved up. It's not surprising. It deserves to be the top. Deep Blue Sea is a fantastic film, but this just is it's a different level of film, really, isn't it? One's a fun film and one's just a superior. It's a great film.
We'll finish quickly with the socials. Got just a few people got best film ever. A film that I remembered getting better.
Is that from Eureka?
Yeah. A film that I remembered being better than it was. Let's be honest, the film's high point is the reveal of Tyler Durden being the narrator, and that there's still a slow 25 minutes of Project Mayhem to go. It's good, but far short of the greatness it's often claimed to be. 8 out of 10. Carlo, great film and more layers than what people give it credit for. From a weird kick-ass thriller to its attack on consumerism, or its stance on toxic masculinity, to just being a bonkers and hilarious romp. If anything, it will make you break rules number 1 and 2 because you will talk about it. Better than Human, I'm edgy starter pack. Actually a good movie. But most people don't get that it's a satire. Chance Whitmore, enjoyed this immensely. What a cast. There are many times that it creates more questions than answers, but it's so well done, you don't care. And Paul Homer, a masterpiece. Aged very well. Never saw that twist coming. There was an audible gasp in the cinema when I saw it in November 99 at my local Odeon. I love Fincher. Thank you for everyone who contributed and got involved. It means a hell of a lot.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And I think the rankings are all the same. I mean, there's still a lot of room to beat this. It's in a great position. But what do you say, 40 out of 50?
40 out of 50, but there's still some heavy hitters from this year to come. Hitters.
And you could easily get 50. I mean, it's a 10-point gap. So it's going to be up there, but it could easily lose it. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. If you want to give your reviews, your star, did you think it was 40 out of 50? Do you think it was better or worse? Get involved on social media. You can find us on Instagram. And where is that, Griff?
At Paul and Griff Show.
And if you want to bombard constantly any time of day, you can on Twitter. And where can they find us there?
At Paul and Griff Show.
And as I said during the little filler bit, of course, we'll be back on Tuesday for the movie news. And also back next Thursday as we continue Project 99, as we continue to look into the year 1999, arguably the greatest film year ever. And Fight Club, currently the greatest film of 1999. But can it keep it up? You want to find out? And I think that's me.
And that's me. Catch you later.
See ya.